Enjoy the convenience of 7 days a week banking and extended hours with Cube from First Arkansas Bank and Trust, member FDIC. Enjoy the convenience of 7 days a week banking and extended hours with Cube from First Arkansas Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
How about the top six separated by a length and a half as they race around the far turn, and Nadal is still the leader.
Oaklawn Race Day. Your inside track with some of the hottest thoroughbred action in America. Only a short drive away in Hot Springs.
Between horses goes Accession, who's come from the back of the pack. And look at this. It is Accession and Nadal. Nadal, Accession, Nadal, aces the Rebel. Wow, what a race.
Arkansas residents can even watch and wager online with Oaklawn Anywhere. Go to oaklawnanywhere.com or download the iPhone or iPad app from the Apple Store for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. And now, here are your hosts, Justin Acri and David Longinotti.
And we welcome you in again for the penultimate edition of Oaklawn Race Day. Justin Acri, David Longinotti, and Jeff Money Taylor right out of the gate. And 10 races on the card today, 1 o'clock first post. If you can't be down at Oaklawn today, bet.oaklawn.com. Set up your Oaklawn Anywhere account. Buzz 22 for $150 sign-up bonus. It's nearing the end of the live racing season, but not too late to get in. And, David, we are obviously looking forward to a great day of racing today and on into tomorrow. We're running out of live days, though, as we look ahead to next weekend. It'll be a great final weekend at Oaklawn, but obviously there's going to be plenty to talk about at Churchill next weekend as well.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got, obviously, Kentucky Oaks Day is next Friday. We're 6 days away from there, and obviously 7 days away from the first Saturday in May, which, as everyone knows, is the biggest sporting event in our sport. Kentucky Derby Day at Churchill Downs next Saturday. We will be opening our gates early on that day. We'll be having 12 races next Saturday, 11 races next Friday, as we go into our last 3 days of the racing season as well. We'll be opening early at 9 a.m. because the first races at Churchill, both Friday and Saturday, at 9:30. Our races will begin at noon. We'll have 10 on Friday, 12 on Saturday, and then we'll close out this historic racing season next Sunday with another 10-race card.
Well, the Kentucky Derby has bounced up a bit, $1 million, in fact, to a $3 million purse, and the Oaks, obviously, also a very lucrative race for the horses in there, $1.25 million. And, again, live racing today at Oaklawn tomorrow and then next weekend. And I had been under the impression, David, that Saturday next week was our final day, but we'll be racing next Sunday as well. Let's bring in Jeff Taylor now. And Jeff, real quick before we move on to what's happening today and looking ahead to next week with everything that's on the line, wanted to quickly touch on what we saw last weekend. And we had a couple of relatively chalky races at Oaklawn with the $1 million Saturday, multi-million dollar Saturday, but also had a pretty interesting upset as Last Samurai earned a trip into the Belmont, or excuse me, into the Preakness with a win last weekend. So that was a bit of a surprise, but it was obviously a great day at Oaklawn. Latruska living up to the hype there. But anyway, good overall day with some big races on the card.
Yeah, it was. Latruska obviously looked like her old self. She won this race last year, the Apple Blossom over champion Monomoy Girl, and that was a thrilling stretch duel. But she just dominated in this latest edition of the Apple Blossom. As expected, she was totally in control of the pace. She got a nice breather into the far turn, and really take nothing away from CC there or Clairiere. The third and second place finish was respectively. They just simply had too much to do to kick down a mare loose on the lead like that of Latruska's quality. But a good race nonetheless, and like I mentioned, Latruska didn't look like she'd lost a step from her championship campaign of 2021. She's back with a vengeance, and it's going to be very interesting following her forward as she once again maps out nothing but grade one until her ultimate goal, which will be the Breeders' Cup Distaff in early November.
Yeah, tip of the cap to Jose Ortiz, too, who was aboard Latruska in the win there, and also in the Oaklawn Stakes, I should say, Homebrew, the Brad Cox horse, David. So a very lucrative day for Mr. Ortiz, and then the upset we mentioned, Last Samurai getting home and getting a win for Willis Horton and John Court. So the Ageless Wonders with some success last weekend.
Well, and actually the second consecutive win for Mr. Horton in the Oaklawn Handicap. He He was part owner last year of the winner By My Standards, and comes back on this year with Last Samurai, who got, I thought JT watches races a lot closer than I do, but you know, sometimes there's a reason you put someone with so much experience like John Court on a horse. He got him an excellent, excellent ride on Last Samurai.
So I know we talked about Homebrew a little bit last week, Dave, and you know, it's looking ahead a few weeks now. We're already looking ahead to next week, but down the road for Homebrew to earn his way in, what kind of shot would you give him coming off that performance?
Well, I think it's, the race did not pan out as fast. Of course, you know, by comparison purposes, he was kind of, you know, on a time clock, so to speak, running against Latriska and Last Samurai. So obviously he was a little bit slower than those two at a mile and an eighth. Brad Cox is going to have three horses in the Derby. Perhaps he'll throw this one into the Preakness. We'll see what path he takes. There's, 3 weeks between now and the Preakness, so we'll see what shakes out of the Derby, et cetera, et cetera. But I would think at this point he may take a shot with the Preakness, but he looks to me to be maybe a later developing sort that we may see later on in some of the bigger summer three-year-old stakes races.
As we mentioned, David, today live racing again back at Oaklawn, 10 races on the card, 1 o'clock first post, and a little added incentive for those who turn out today. It's on-site appreciation day for those who can make it down today, and looks like a pretty good weather day. May have a little bit of rain in the middle of the card, but some additional opportunities for people to take advantage at Oaklawn, I guess, of some handouts on a day where, you got a full slate of racing.
Yeah, we're giving away free programs to everyone who enters as long as they last. We're going to have drawings throughout the day for things like, charcoal grills, kayaks, things that you can enjoy throughout the summer here in Arkansas. And also we'll be giving away, free hot dog coupons, free soft drink coupons, things along those lines throughout the day. So when you come out, just swipe your card in one of the swipe stations to be eligible for all those giveaways. It's going to be a fun day, and it's just our way of thanking the greatest racing fans in America for supporting this throughout this racing season.
I noticed that, David, and don't forget the free parking as well. I noticed the signs were up on the way in this morning, so another treat for kind of rewarding our fans who, as you mentioned, a very historic racing season here this year.
JT, saw a lot of full fields yesterday and a little shorter field in the stakes race today, the Bachelor, for three-year-old sprinters, and Steve Asmussen, as he's been all year, very much in the conversation. He will go on to his 12th training title this year. He's well on his way, and he's got a couple of the shortest priced horses in here.
Yeah, he'll be favored, Justin, to win his eighth Bachelor Stakes. That's a remarkable, remarkable feat. I've gone through the years in Mattoli, and he just has been so, so productive in this race throughout the years. And, he wouldn't surprise me if he runs 1-2. In this race this year. He has got, I think, by far the two strongest-looking colts in there on paper.
Well, we'll get picks coming up a little bit later, but, David, as far as the way this field came together, before we take our break, just thoughts looking at this one. Obviously, Steve is going to get the lion's share of the attention, I would assume, from the betting public.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a coin flip between which Asmussen runner you like. In my mind, I was leaning toward one all morning, and as we get closer to showtime, it's like I kind of flip-flopped a little bit, but my advice will be to whichever one of the two is the longest price, I think that's the one that I'll be backing if I back that race at all.
All right. Well, let's take our first break a little bit early here. When we come back, we're going to delve into what is on tap for next week at Churchill with the Kentucky Oaks, and as well as the Kentucky Derby, and we'll talk about some of the Arkansas wagering interests in those two significant races, as well as what's going on this weekend, and looking forward to delving into that. And obviously the road to the Kentucky Derby victory has many times been influenced by those who have come through Oaklawn over the years, and hoping to have the same thing happen again this season. We'll see. All right, we'll delve into that coming up. It is 11:09. You're listening to Oaklawn Race Day on 103.7 The Buzz.
Live racing at Oaklawn is back, and it's bigger than ever.
They're off.
With more race days and more ways to enjoy them, with a new luxury hotel, more dining options, and world-class thoroughbred racing, this season is like no other. Book your escape, buy your seats, and make your dining reservations at oaklawn.com today. Oaklawn, Arkansas's only casino resort. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700.
The Rogers Family for Capital Business Machines.
It's real important to keep going what our dad has started.
He had a good reputation, and we want to continue that reputation. Business is about relationships, and I think a lot of times it gets too corporate, too internet, too impersonal, and we want to continue that legacy that our dad has started. Treat people right, and they'll take care of you, too.
Contact us today for a free document assessment at catbiz.com.
On race day, Justin Aker, David Longinotti, and Jeff Money Taylor. And David, you already alluded to this, but next Friday for Oaks Day at Churchill, going to be an early start at Oaklawn and early start over at Churchill to work with it so people can get in there and get settled in. But, you know, obviously a lot of interesting wagering options. A horse we've talked about a lot, Secret Oath, who not only proved herself against the girls but against the boys this year, and also, is going to be one of the favorites, I would think, going into the Oaks. But as far as the Oaklawn runners, what are your expectations there? I got to think Secret Oath is going to be in the conversation for everybody.
Oh, yeah, I think she is. She's a filly who's run pretty decent against the boys in the Arkansas Derby. She ran third that day. And some say she got into a little bit of trouble, maybe asked a little early, et cetera, et cetera. I think it's probably one of the most wide open Kentucky Oaks that I can remember in a long time. You got Kathleen Oates coming off several wins, Echo Zulu, the last year's champion 2 year old, who has only one start this year, and it didn't, in the Fairgrounds Oaks, and kind of just barely hung on there. So the question is, how much improvement will she show? Nest is coming off a good race in the Ashland, and of course Ujiri, who won the Fantasy in Secret Oath's absence while Secret Oath was facing the boys. So there's a lot of good connections in here. The top two from Oaklawn are obviously Secret Oath and Ujiri. We got some others kind of on the fence, hoping to possibly get in, such as Danny Pites' Begin, who ran second in the Fantasy. Right now she is tied for 16th on the roster, so to speak. So if someone else drops out, she'll have to have some luck to get in. But the way she closed on Ujiri, I think she would be a lifelong shot in that race. Hello?
Yes, David, can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you, JT.
Okay, good. I guess something must have happened to Justin. He dropped off. But, I concur. I think Secret Oath is the one to beat. She's just simply so push-button. That trip she had in the Arkansas Derby, I thought probably cost her, maybe not the win, but she probably should have run second if she'd gotten any kind of trip through that traffic instead of going 6 and 7 wide in the second turn. I wouldn't trade places with anybody if I had her, but I'll make this addition to your comments. This is the deepest Oaks field, I think, potentially, that we have seen in at least 10 or 12 years. You mentioned the horses. It reads like a who's who. Echo Zulu, last year, 2-year-old champion for Secret Oath, Kathleen O, Nest. I mean, the list just goes on. And these fillies alone would be a heavy favorite, but you throw 3 or 4 together, and you're going to have a terrific betting race. Probably favorite's going to slide off a lukewarm 5-2, maybe. And that's fair, square value, as talented as some of these fillies are on the top of the leaderboard going in.
Yes, sir. And
next weekend, go ahead.
Go ahead. Dave. Welcome back, Justin.
Sorry, I got dropped out there for a second. I was just going to mention, again, locally, the connections for next week. You got the Natural State Breeders Stakes, so we've got a fillies race as well, fillies and mares, $150,000 there. And then Pink Out Day as well, breast cancer awareness. I want to make sure that people know there's going to be plenty going on at Oaklawn, too, in connection with what's happening next Friday over at Churchill.
Yeah, and a special comment for me anyway on this Pink Out Day, the breast cancer awareness on Friday. It's been kind of coincidental with Oaks Day the last several years. It takes really a deeper meaning with the loss of Chantel Lannery, Corey Lannery's late wife, who passed, unfortunately, a few years back due to complications from breast cancer. She started that foundation, and it is just really something special. It's the way the industry can step up. Justin, I know the Buzz does remarkable work in cancer awareness and cancer fundraising for charitable purposes. But, wear your best pink outfit next Friday if you intend to come, because it's going to be, the grandstand will be awash in pink, and it is certainly, it could not be a better car.
Yeah, and I was also going to ask you guys before I dropped off there, sorry. When's the draw for the Oaks and the Derby? I didn't see that.
Monday.
Okay. Very good. Well, we won't have to wait too long. That's good. And I like the fact that they're doing that earlier now. And, Jeff, as we turn the page into the Derby, you want to get your thoughts on that first and the Arkansas connections there. There are a handful. And we talked a lot about, with such a huge field, how much position matters. So how much will you factor that in after you see how they stack up as far as lanes?
Well, David and I were having a conversation last night on that very issue and how successful, as executive racing form columnist Dave Riven pointed out in a very nice column this week, about how forward-running sorts do so much better in these 20-horse fields. The parity is certainly there as far as being evenly matched, but running styles have really come into play, I think, in recent years more so than maybe some of the earlier runnings of the Kentucky Derby. It's just so difficult to get through 20 horses, so I think you really need to start with forward tights running ability. I think you need to be within the at least contact of the early lead. David and I mentioned also last night that the days of suicidal pace seem to have gone to the wayside as well. The days where you see a 22 and change, 45 and change half mile, people know that you cannot last that long going that fast at a mile and a quarter. So the pace has become more reasonable, if you will, which only reinforces the stalking type success more. And, talking about our horses, certainly Barber Road is kind of a closing type, but he does find a way to get up and involved in at least a super trifecta every time out. Cyberknife has that good running style, I think, maybe from second flight position. I certainly think of the horses that we've seen, maybe enjoys the best position, I think, as far as a good trip. Zozos, who ran second behind Epicenter down in Louisiana, in the Louisiana Derby. He's got a pretty useful running style, but it's only his fourth career start, so I really question his seasoning ability. When it gets rough in these derbies. So I think of the horses that we've seen, and that includes Un Uno, the one-eyed wonder there that won the Rebel Stakes at a monster price. He'll be a monster price again. He's going to be mired back in traffic, and he's going to have a fortunate trip, as he did in winning the Rebel when he skimmed the rail, to be involved in this. But, as you say, that could not bring up a better point, Justin, is running positions, and to a lesser degree, more so than maybe in recent memory, I think post positions are going to come into play, because a lot of jocks are going to have their hands forced early. If they draw poorly, either inside or far outside, they may have to go a little bit harder in the early, go into established position. But a very interesting race, and that's what makes this the greatest 2 minutes in sports. So many subplots, So much strategy, both human and equine athletes putting it together. It's just that's what makes Kentucky Derby so special.
David, I understand the connections from Cyberknife have some things to be excited about leading up to next week. Sounds like things are looking well for him.
Well, I think he's become kind of a horse to look at on the track in the morning. I was hoping to get, and maybe we'll be able to get him at some point next week, Mike Welch, who spends all morning, every morning this time of the year at Churchill, watching all these Derby and Oaks horses work. He has an excellent reputation as someone who knows what he's seeing out there on the racetrack. He had a post this morning about Cyberknife and Zozos, the two of the horses that represent Oakland, even though Zozos' last race was not here. They worked as a tandem this morning. They're both trained by Brad Cox. Cyberknife started out about a length off of Zozos early. They went five furlongs. They gave Cyberknife a time of 58 4/5, which is pretty stout. And Zozos got 50, went in 59 flat. So we're hoping to have him on this week, but maybe we can get him on one of your shows early, midweek or something along those lines, or maybe even this show next week, just to talk about the workouts and how horses work, final workouts going into the Kentucky Derby are so important. And actually, to be honest with you, the one that in my mind that sticks out in the history of that was, I remember when Smarty Jones' last work at Churchill going into the Kentucky Derby, he went five furlongs in like 57 4 and galloped out in 10 and change and just kept going. His gallop out was strong. And at that point, I remember a quote from Bob Baffert, who said, after watching that workout, he said, "We're all running for second."
Well, we'll see. Yeah, obviously, it's going to be an exciting race, and I'm with you guys both. I think the Oaksfield, we've been talking about it for weeks on the show. I think it's going to be extremely entertaining. We will be there live with the shows, the morning show and then my show on the Buzz next week, and looking forward to being down there on Friday, David. And I will tell you, he's not much of a handicapper, but the triumphant return of the ever-popular shooter, Pat Bradley, will be joining our guys on the morning next Friday. And so if you want to get a little look or maybe a pick with the SEC Network star, you'll have a chance to hang out with Pat next Friday. So there you go. David,
well,
big news this week.
You know, the shooter's already got a horse. He's got a bet in the Derby. Tis the bomb. He's the bomber.
He is.
The Boston Bomber's got to back Tis the Bomb, does he not?
I would think so. In the gym, in range, if you're Pat Bradley, for sure. So he's good with that. All right, let's look ahead. I mean, look, we're looking ahead to next week. Let's look ahead to next year. Got some news this week as far as the 22-23 schedule. Never too early to be talking about that. And I think we can all agree that the extension of the season back into December worked extremely well. And going all the way through, you know, Kentucky Derby Saturday and Sunday is going to be fantastic as we finish up the season as well. But, Dave, we got some news this week about what next year holds.
Yes, some minor changes. It basically mirrors this racing season beginning in December, ending in the first weekend in May, with a couple of exceptions. We are starting a week later. Opening day will be December 9th, 2022, when the closing day will actually be Kentucky Derby Day. So on that day, you know, we don't come back the day after the Kentucky Derby.
Okay.
It's largely 3 days a week, except for the month of March. In the month of March, we'll be racing 4 days a week. We're adding Thursdays to the schedule on those days in the month of March. So it kind of mirrors where we ended up this year when we replaced those missed days on those Thursdays. So I think it's going to be a great season. Go ahead and mark it on your calendars. Arkansas Derby Day will be Saturday, April 1st. So if you get out your 2023 calendar and go ahead and put a big circle around April 1st.
David, this is no April Fool's joke, is it? Because that would be cruel. Don't tease me.
No, absolutely okay. Not. It'll be interesting.
Yes.
I can just sense all the April Fool's Day jokes that we'll be uttering on the show next year.
I'm already working up my wisecracks for the races. I'll be doing my April Fool's handicapping work, so that'll be fun, something to look forward to. JT, real quick on the upcoming schedule. Obviously, it worked out well this year, and I assume you're in favor of continuing on the same track for next season?
Yeah, I think they kept the best aspects. We all kind of knew that this kind of new ground that we were breaking with an earlier opening date, maybe we tweak it a little bit as we go along, and they've done that with a week later beginning, as David mentioned, and I think that fits very well, meshes extremely well, as a matter of fact, with our Churchill Downs horsemen. They'll be ending up there toward the end of November, as they historically do. And it gives them a little time to breathe, get their outfits down here, get them settled, and then we get into high gear a week or so after they close. So I applaud them for doing that. As I said, we knew this would be a work in progress. I think the Thursdays in March is an excellent idea. March typically in Arkansas and the surrounding states is always spring break. And where else, what better place can you spend spring break than a week here in Hot Springs? So the weather's turning at that time of year. I think that's the perfect time to add a fourth race date during the week, and a lot to like. And you know, I think going forward, it's just going to be a terrific race meet. I've gotten a little bit used to the 3 days a week, but it's nice to know that we get it 4 days a week, right when the racing gets really good leading up to the Racing Festival in the Arkansas Derby.
100%. All right, we got to hit a break, and we'll be back with picks, Bachelor Stakes, best bets, long shots. I want to remind you the sportsbook open today. Got baseball, should have college baseball on the board. Arkansas looking to rebound after a loss to Ole Miss yesterday. Got NBA playoffs, much more there. And don't forget Oaklawn.com for your spa, hotel, shows. Got George Thorogood coming to the event center next week. You can book your tickets online at Oaklawn.com as well. We'll get into picks coming up.
This is David Dunn with Central Arkansas Truck and Trailer. Do you own or operate Macs, Volvos, Freightliners, Kenworths, Peterbilts, or International Trucks? We can offer you the same dealership-level computer diagnostics with highly trained and professional mechanics without dealership wait times and cost. Whether you're a municipality, fleet, or small business with one truck, come see why our customers have made us the highest-rated independent repair shop in Arkansas. Central Arkansas Truck and Trailer. Take exit 7 on I-440 or call 568-2185.
Arkansas State Parks are your passport to explore everything the natural state has to offer, from our storied past to our scenic beauty. With unexpected escapes like Jacksonport State Park, you can get a unique look at our state's history. Each one of our 52 state parks offers something just a little bit different. So pick up your passport at any State Park Visitor Center. Plan your trip at ArkansasStateParks.com.
Brought to you by this station and the Arkansas Broadcasters Association.
All right, let's get back into it here. Time for picks. And, David, we touched on the relatively short field. Asmussen Heavy in the Bachelor Stakes today. Three-year-old sprinters. And, you know, again, there'll probably be a lot of wagering interest on his two horses. But I got to think that you and JT will try to find something with a little more meat on the bone here. We'll see.
And actually, I mean, it's hard to find meat on the bone in this race because I went and looked at the last two races of both of the Asmussen horses, the three Karama, as well as the five Cogburn, and every time I watched the Karama race, I came away feeling like Karama was the best. Every time I watched the Cogburn race, I came away feeling like Cogburn was the best. So, I mean, one won by 7 lengths and 110 flat. The other one won by 4 lengths and 109 and one and 2/5. But I think the key in this race is who's in front at the eighth pole. And I think there's a good shot that Karama will be the one who's in front at the eighth pole. His last race, I mean, his splits were like very, very quick. He went 57 flat to the 5/8 pole, which is virtually unheard of here at Oaklawn. So I know he's going to be in front at the eighth pole. And I know that he can come from slightly off the pace, whereas Cogburn has done nothing but go wire to wire. So that's going to be my pick, Karama, even though he is the morning line favorite. But I actually thought Cogburn would be the morning line favorite and Karama would be the second choice.
There you go. Well, eighth pole, who's leading there is important. Who's leading at the end, though? That's what I want to know who's leading at the end. That's the biggest thing, David. That's the most important thing. So, JT, who's going to be leading at the end? That's what I want to know. Tell me.
Well, you know, and this race, at first glance, looks like it's a two-horse race, and I tried to hash it, dice it, slice it, whatever way I possibly could. And I think if there is a shooter in there, it may be Kelly's horse, the 2/8 Life Grand. Granted, this is an Iowa bred, but Kelly does very well off a layoff. And they've been sitting on this colt for some time now. Steady string of work. He has won against Open Stakes Company, and that's something Cogburn, at least, cannot attest to. And neither can Karama, because this one is done, his break is made, and then got that optional win last time out. Cogburn, exactly the same scenario. So at least Ain't Life Grand does have a victory against Open Stakes Company. Was at Prairie going a two-turn mile up there back last early September. He's going to be the distant third choice, I think, in here without a doubt. 6-7, maybe even 8-1 with the Asmussen duo getting almost all of the attention of, I think, serious batters. Cogburn's going to be the one to catch. I think 8 Life Grand could lay just off of that one. I like the two-turn mile win under his belt, so I'm going to give him a shot.
All right, tight on time. Give it to me, JT. What's your best bet today?
My best bet is two races previous. That would be Speed Bias, a Brad Cox maiden, going two turns for the first time. He got too far out of it in his debut, going sixth. He's a workmate of a horse called Best Actor. They were about equal in the mornings leading up to each of their debuts. Best Actor won impressively in a two-turn debut a couple of weeks ago. I think Speed Bias has turned today. I think he gets the money. Number 7, Speed Bias in race 7. That's my best bet.
All right, and David?
Mine is kind of a similar, a different attitude completely. Race number 2, horse number 2, Tapped Out from trainer John Prather. This is an Archie bred maiden claiming race. He's shortening up for the first time after 3 route races. I love that angle.
And David, your long shot.
My long shot is going to be race number 8, the 3 Herd Immunity, 12-1 in the morning line.
I talked about that a lot the last few years. JT, real quick.
No, 2 horse in the 6, my long shot, Ecky's Verb. I think this one is under the care of a hot trainer right now. Greg Coffin won another one yesterday. Freshly claimed, number 2, Ecky's Verb in race 6.
All right, next week, Natural State Breeders' Stakes on Friday, Arkansas Breeders' Championship on Saturday, and, of course, this little thing called the Kentucky Derby, as well as the Kentucky Oaks. And we'll talk about all of it extensively next week on Oaklawn Race Day. Thanks for being with us. Good luck, everybody.
They're off. Venetian Harbor is alongside Swiss Skydiver, and these two have raced away.
Come to Oaklawn now. for another great day of racing in Hot Springs.
Venetian Harbor is back in front half ahead. Swiss Skydiver going to make her work all the way to the wire.
When they can't make it to the track, Arkansas residents can watch and wager online with Oaklawn Anywhere. Get a $150 bonus when you sign up. Go to oaklawnanywhere.com or download the iPhone or iPad app from the Apple Store for details.
Swiss Skydiver, Venetian Harbor, and Swiss Skydiver is going to run away and win the fantasy.
Oaklawn, Arkansas's favorite place to play. The next time you're at Oaklawn, sign up for Oaklawn Rewards and play $100 on us.